Well, it's always a blessing to be with God's people. Thank you for being with us this morning. I know that many are traveling, going different places, and but it's a wonderful week. I love this celebration as much as any during the year. There's something a little bit cleaner about Thanksgiving other than the gluttony of it. You know, God's people have a proper focus, and it seems like the materialism, although it has infected Thanksgiving as all other holidays, it's not quite as bad as some of the other holidays. It just seems to be. But God's people need an attitude of gratitude. We need to be thankful people. And so that having an attitude of gratitude or being thankful people is something that's developed. We want to reflect for a few moments, take a little bit of time this morning to look at developing and having an attitude of gratitude and what it means to give thanks to the Lord. I love the Psalm 107. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonderful works to the sons of men." We're to thank God for all things, but in that particular expression, that psalm, it splits it up for His loving kindness, for God's attributes, for the beauty of His person. We give thanks to God this morning, but also for His works, for His wonderful works to the sons or to the children of men. And those need to be the thoughts, the meditation, the reflection of our heart as we come into thanks that time of year where we give expression of thanks nationally as a country. So thankful for that wonderful tradition that comes from our Christian roots of this nation, and we need to continue to reflect along those lines about the importance of Thanksgiving. So thank you so much for being here this morning, and we want to look at a number of different passages, a little bit topical this morning. Next week, I will go back to Hebrews, and I actually would like to finish Hebrews, and then we'll have the Christmas season as well, so there will be some Christmas sermons and things to reflect on that season. But thank you again for being with us. It has been said that if worry is an alarm clock to pray, then complaining must be an alarm to give thanks. So if we're given to complaining, and I don't know of too many of us that aren't, I certainly haven't mastered that thing in life. It's I don't know what it is. It's just our flesh. It's so easy to complain. But if you think about complaint, it's basically an expression of unbelief. When we grumble against God, and that's what Deuteronomy teaches that happened to the children of Israel, is that grumbling and complaining that took place there under harsh circumstances took place. And what the Bible says about it is that it's unbelief. And we want to separate ourselves from unbelief. And so if you're complaining, if you came in this morning complaining about this, complaining about that or one thing or another, then it's God, the Holy Spirit, telling you that you need to turn your thoughts and your attention toward giving God thanks. And in so doing, to recognize and repent of the tendencies that we have to toward unbelief and the expression that God in some way is just not taking care of us and life isn't working out the way that we want it to. Therefore, we have a right and there is some justice in our complaining about circumstances. It's always the statement that that we are not in charge of life, that we're not Lord of our own lives, is the reason that things aren't going well. And that's a reminder of what? That we need dependence upon God. And we need to, again, remember that every good thing comes from His hand, that we live in a fallen world, that it's temporary, that is passing, and that God requires, he asks that we would give thanks, and that the praise of thanksgiving would be upon the lips of His people. And that's an expression of what? Of belief in our great God, and an acknowledgement and a confession of His place as being one who rules on His throne in heaven, and the earth is His footstool. He's Lord, Lord of all flesh. He is God. And even though we have a rebellious and sinful and fallen world, it's temporary. God is at work. He's at work drawing those to Himself that would come to salvation in Christ, that He might separate us and His creation from that which is evil, that which is wicked, that which is wrong, that which we so often complain about. There will be no complaint in that day of redemption when Jesus Christ returns and He establishes that kingdom of righteousness that is God's kingdom, which you are a part of. And that's good reason to rejoice. The Christian stance in life, according to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, it's a familiar passage. I bring it up often. But command to you and to me, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's desire for you is to rejoice. That inexpressible joy that is despite circumstances, that is above life in this mundane and fallen world, comes from the presence of God. Comes from a relationship with Him and with that presence that has been given through Jesus Christ. We are to be a people that pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Think about the gravity of that command, because it is a command to you. In everything give thanks. And that's difficult to do at times. No question about it. No doubt about it, but the command from Scripture to God's people is that in everything to give thanks. Now, how do we do that? Because we know that all things aren't good, are they? But we do know that according to Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purposes. So what we need is a higher view, a view that comes from God's perspective, a view that expresses gratitude in times when it seems that there's no reason to express gratitude, but to look from a higher perspective, from a higher view. Now, the word for giving thanks is ευχαριστώς, and it comes from the word charis, which is grace or kindness or mercy or goodwill, free, unlimited gift of grace is the idea of a free gift, something that's not earned or merited. And it means simply to be mindful of those favors, to be grateful, or to be thankful. So it says, in everything, ευχαριστώς, it means to be grateful, or the expression of gratitude. It's the acknowledgement of God's grace. Acknowledgement that life is a gift. And I saw this beautiful and passed along this beautiful picture in on Facebook this week. And it was a doctor that was in the fetal, doing fetal surgery. And it was just amazing procedure where a baby with spina bifida, is that it? Is that the word? It was being corrected by surgery, and this surgeon's hands had opened up the wound there, and he was doing the surgery, and this little hand comes out of the incision and is latched onto the finger of the doctor, and you know, such an incredible reminder of the beauty of life, that God gives life, and the wonderful things that He has provided. But what a beautiful picture of this little baby reaching up and grabbing that surgeon doctor's hand. And so the acknowledgement of God's goodness, His grace, of the life that has been given to us is needful for God's people. Also, Hebrews 13 through 15 says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Now, that particular word for giving thanks and the expression that is given in music and song, where we come here, we gather together as God's people, and it's about expressing thanks to God, praise to God, the worship of God in song, and acknowledging His greatness, and our hearts, our lips expressing and giving thanks to His name. This particular word for giving thanks is homologeo, and that logeo is the word for word, and homo is the one for one word, and that's the word that comes for confession. So if we were to take the raw translation of Hebrews 13:15, where we're commanded to give the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, it would be confessing His name. That confession, our acknowledgement of God's name, His reputation, it's the expression of our testimony, our confession. So when we get together and we sing hymns, these beautiful hymns that we sang this morning, that Steve and Pat and Sandy do such a great job with, and we take the expression of those words on our lips, we're acknowledging, we're confessing His reputation. We're expressing the worship, and it's the giving of thanks, and there, it's connected. There's a connection, so it's not improper to translate that the fruit of our lips are giving thanks or confessing, giving confession to His name. And so these are the things that God's people do. It's the idea of saying, to say the same thing. Homo means one, and logeo means one word, one confession. Saying the same thing or acknowledgement. That's why in 1 John 1:9, when we confess our sins, it means that we acknowledge what God is saying about us. And God's Word says this is sin. So the confession of sin is acknowledging what God has said about us. And it's necessary for our fellowship with God. And He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from unrighteousness. But God requires acknowledgement of our sin, to acknowledge it as sin, rather than rebellion. It's the opposite of rebellion. It is to be broken, to be humble, to make confession. And to make confession in the fruit of our lips to the name of our God is to give testimony to His greatness. Isn't that wonderful? As God's people, we come together and we sing of His greatness and make that confession. Thanksgiving, then, is a verbal expression of an inner attitude of gratitude, acknowledging God's unmerited favor. So, thanksgiving, what is it? It is a verbal expression. It was the expression of the praise of your lips, giving thanks to God this morning. It's an attitude of gratitude, an acknowledgement of His grace, and giving of unmerited favor to sinners that do not deserve and have not earned it. And it does not justly or rightly belong to us, but by grace has been given to God's people. So that ought to put a smile on everybody's face, regardless of what kind of week you've gone through. It's a wonderful thing. Let's look at the purpose for Thanksgiving. We want to consider why it's commanded, but before we do, if we could look at chapter 3 of Colossians, verses 12 through 17, we want to look at this attitude of gratitude or the confession of worship and consider the purpose of Thanksgiving, why God sees it as so essential for us. But let's just read those verses, first of all, what should be characteristic of God's people. And I'm going to read with verse 12 there, and you can follow along in Colossians 3. I'm not going to spend any detailed exposition of this passage, but just to borrow and pull some of the principles for us this morning. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of God, or the peace of Christ, rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Now, I think the Apostle Paul probably had plenty of things to complain about. And in those prison epistles there in the dungeons and having been beaten with the rods your flesh torn off your back, rods chipping the bones in your shoulder blades, having been stoned, fleeing cities because people were after you. The Apostle Paul had plenty of things to complain about, but look at his attitude. Look at what the Apostle Paul, what is characteristic of him. Where does that come from? But the fruit of God's Spirit, isn't it? It's the presence of God in the lives of the people of God. And it brings us, it bears us over and rises us above our circumstances, that we can have a thankful heart. So the purpose of thanksgiving is that this would be characteristic of God's people. I mean, think about it. We can walk around complaining. There's always stuff to complain about, things that could be better. And it's our nature. It's the very much characteristic that when you strive for perfection, when you strive to grow, when you strive to get better at things, then by nature you have to be critical, right? You look at these things and say, well, everything's good except this over here just needs to be tweaked a little bit, and we got to work on that, and that's got to be cleaned up and fixed before it can be like it should be. But what happens is we begin to take that one area, and that one critical area gets bigger and bigger and more magnified and more magnified until it's just huge. It overwhelms us. It takes over our life. It's something that we're constantly thinking about, and we become obsessive because we're such a people that have been trained to strive for perfection, to be the best, and to do the very best that we can do. There's nothing wrong with that, except that it gets magnified and blown out of proportion, and then we begin to constantly be critical, and that invades and pervades our whole life, so that in our obsessions with that striving for professionalism and doing things the very best, we are overwhelmed and taken over with criticism and with criticalness. And therefore, we become critical people. We begin to complain all the time. Our focus is just there. Same thing that happens when you're offended by someone, right? I mean, they offend you, and in this area of bitterness, it's in your heart and your life, and all of a sudden you can't think about anything else. And it often happens in problems that with leadership that we're dealing with here. You know, the problem comes up and it becomes so big, and you have to think of it and think through it. And so it's all that you think about for a period of time, and it begins to so much prevail over the rest of life and things in the body here that it's all that you see, and you're just constantly thinking about it and trying to figure out how to work out this problem. And so this problem begins to be magnified out of proportion, and so that we cannot see things from a right and proper perspective. And we have to adjust that, don't we? Because it's okay to look at those areas and to look at those things and to deal with them and to throw yourselves into dealing with problems. But if we don't have the bigger picture, if we can't step back and in our obsessive, compulsive natures, step back to see the bigger picture, then we become a grumbling, gripey, complaining group of people, don't we? And, you know, I mean, God has to deliver us from those things because it's our nature. It's the way our culture is. It's the way our society is. And we're going to be controlled by that. We're going to be conformed by this world, pressed into that mold, unless we, by God's grace, step back and take the greater visual picture from God's perspective about what reality really is. So those are things that we need to be reminded of. So have a Thanksgiving service. Well, let's be thankful people and let's step back and take the bigger picture. You know, that person that bugs you, whether it's a family member, a husband or a wife or whatever, and in that certain area that bugs you to death that you just can't seem to deal with. Well, you got to step back and take the bigger picture there. And look at things and give thanks for your partner, for your family member, for your friend that irritates you in this particular one area. Get the big picture. Get God's picture on it and be thankful. So let's look at the purpose of Thanksgiving and what Thanksgiving is. First of all, there in these verses and in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we find that Thanksgiving is a duty. It's an imperative verb. There, it's replete in the Psalms. Give thanks to God. You know, many times as you read through the Psalms, it speaks of giving thanks. Verse 15, here, it's a command, and it gives you these instructions about life in the body. And at the very end of it, it says, and be thankful. You know, beyond all these things, put on love, forgiving one another. Anyone that has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. And it goes through this long list. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to indeed which you were called in one body. So there's unity there. And then it says, and be thankful. Okay, right? And be thankful. So that's what we should endeavor to do as God's people. We should endeavor to do that because it is an imperative verb. Now, imperative verbs means that's a command statement. The Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is telling the people of God in the church at Colossae that you are to be thankful people. Command, not an option. Be thankful. So it's a duty for God's people to be thankful. Secondly, there, it's a way of life. It is practiced daily. This be thankful is a present progressive verb. Okay? So present progressive means that you continuously, habitually, your response is one of giving thanks, being thankful. Okay? In the Psalms it says, be thankful forever. Okay, it's again is to become the way of life for the believer. It's to be the testimony of God's people. So don't be a complainer. If you know a complainer, you know you have to. Some people can be so negative. It's amazing. Have you ever noticed how the influence of one person that has a negative attitude on a group of people? I mean, most of you have probably seen it before, but I've seen it in a number of situations. I can remember one time in college that there was a situation where There was a particular individual that was very caustic and very just a brilliant person, but he had such a spirit, a powerful influence over a group, and there was a as a transition took place, and this guy moved on. It was amazing how the whole dynamic of the group. And our, is actually in our percussion section at Texas, at Southwest Texas in those years. But one individual's attitude affected that whole group. And when they were taken out, it changed. And I think about that, like at Kadesh Barnea, some of the things that we talked about in the book of Hebrews, where you had those 10 spies that came back and they were influential. And so they come back and they say, well, you know, this city's big and there are giants in there and it's a fortified city and we can't do it. Okay? How powerful is the influence of your words that you speak? And how much do the grumbling and complaining that God's people often spit out, how much does it affect others? And so we need to constantly watch and be wary of that tendency that we have to express grumbling and to have influence, wrong influence on things. So, but it is to be a way of life, this Thanksgiving. Thirdly, it's to be progressive and dynamic. We grow in it. Okay? It's something that God intends for us to learn and to grow in. The Psalm 6:5 says, "For there's no mention of you in death. In Sheol, who will give you thanks?" Okay? So the idea there is that sure, we have spiritual conflict here, but that testimony, that confession of grace, the confession of what God desires for His people to give and to give testimony of is really important. And there's opportunity here that is not the same after death. After death, we cannot praise God in the same sense because we're there in His presence. But it's by faith in this confession, this testimony of the greatness of God, of the attributes of God, of the character of God, of the works of God, of His loving kindness and His mercy and His grace in times where things seem to be contradictory, that is so valuable and treasured by your God. God loves your testimony. He desires your testimony. He desires for you to make that confession of who He is before these people here that are lost and going to be separated from Him, that they might know of a gracious and merciful and loving and kind God, that they might know of the mercies that God has intended for them. So you can't express that in Sheol. There's no other opportunity. And I'm telling you, God's people, telling you, that this is more important than what you realize. It's so important. If we could just readjust our focus, if we can learn to be thankful people, if we can make that confession before this world, in this time, this brief time that we have, because in Sheol, we won't have that opportunity. We won't be able to. You remember the rich man and Lazarus? What did he want? He wanted for Lazarus to go back and tell his brothers, go back, send him, you know, Moses, send Lazarus back to tell my brothers. Send someone to tell them, to warn them. Okay, because why? Because there's no more opportunity to give confession to the greatness of God, to the loving kindness of God, to the mercies of God. And in Sheol, there's no more opportunity. There's no choice. There's nothing left there for those people, for the rich man, and for his brothers and where they were headed. And if, as God's people, if we have that compassion for them, then our lives should be characterized by the confession of God's mercy and grace and the opportunity that is there for those that would come and those that would know salvation in Jesus Christ. We have that confession. We have the gospel and the value of it. We can't lose sight of the value of it. Okay, so it is to be progressive and dynamic. That means that we grow in it. It is to be comprehensive. It is to take place in all things. Okay? Now, this is hard. This is really hard. And if you really think about it, if we're in all things to give thanks, and the Romans 8:28 passage that we all know so well and that we quote all the time, for it is God who works in you both to know. Now forget it. Pardon? All together, yes. All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purposes. Doesn't mean that all things are good. It means, in fact, that a lot of things are bad in a fallen world. But the sovereign, providential watch and care of our loving Heavenly Father in the orchestration of those things working together for good is something that God's people can always be thankful for. We can always rejoice about. We can always have that perspective in all things to give thanks. Now, you know, just think about it. For someone that has someone is a member of their family's murdered. How do you forgive someone? You know, when something so precious has been taken from you. But that's happened to believers before. And believers have forgiven those people. And they have looked beyond those horrible circumstances and said, you know what? God is on His throne in this fallen world, and this is really bad. But all of these things, even these things, are working together for good. Think of someone like Johnny Erickson who was paralyzed from the neck down as a very young person. And how do you deal with that? How do you, in those kind of things, give thanks? And I believe that it's not humanly possible for us to rise above that. But God's grace at work within us has taken people through horrible things and terrible situations with thankful hearts. So, what's our excuse? You know, I mean, I haven't been paralyzed from my neck down. I ought to be a thankful person. I ought to be able to rise above the things that I might be complaining about or angry about or bitter about or unforgiving about and forgive and set it aside and be thankful, right? So what's your excuse, brothers and sisters, to not have a thankful heart in a season of thanksgiving? How can we justify it before God? There's no justification before God. We need to be thankful people. Embrace God's command to you. Embrace what He has called us to. It's comprehensive in all things. So whatever you're dealing with this morning, it would be really good for you, really freeing to you, if you can just give it to God and say, God, I'm going to give you thanks for this, even though I don't see and I don't understand and I can't deal with it personally. I'm going to give you thanks for this situation, for you have said in all things to give thanks, and see what God will do with your life. He'll make you free. He will make you free. It'll no longer control your life. It'll no longer be whether you're feeling good or feeling bad. It'll just be, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to God. And God will do these incredible things that God does when we acknowledge His sovereign rule over our lives and express worship to Him who has given to us every single good thing that we enjoy. There's nothing that you enjoy that hasn't come from His hand. So can't we do that as God's people? Can't we be thankful people? Can't we lay aside the grumbling and complaining and the hardship and there's no question they're there and that it's serious and that it's painful. And yet we are made free in Christ Jesus to have such freedom. Thanksgiving is a barometer of the soul. It is a commentary on the inner or unseen person. And in Romans 1:21 it says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." So the opposite of giving thanks was this darkness that came upon people on planet Earth, because rather than giving God thanks, they chose to become futile in their speculations, and foolish hearts were darkened. And what a tragic thing, place to be. And more tragic still would be for God's people to walk around like Charlie Brown all the time in some deep, dark hole because something has happened to them that in the eternal perspective of things is but a fleeting moment, just a moment. And so therefore, let's look from God's perspective and mount up with wings like eagles as God's people. Run and not grow weary. Walk and not faint, because we have the Lord our God. Another point here is that it's a priestly service. So we're to offer up the sacrifice of the praise of our lips. That's a sacrificial priestly service. We find, again, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. There's an attitude of gratitude for the opportunity for priestly service, for the sacrifice of the praise of our lips, for the sacrifice of our very bodies to God's service. There's a verbal expression, a lifetime expression of the confession of God's grace in our lives. And that's the privilege of God's people, isn't it? And then finally there in Scripture, let's see, a priestly service. In Scripture, we give thanks. We have phrases like, I give thanks to you. I give thanks to your name. I give thanks with all of my heart. I give thanks to God forever. Give thanks to God before the congregation. Give thanks to God among the nations. Give thanks with all kinds of musical instruments in Psalms, it says, singing for His goodness, for His loving kindness, for His righteousness, praising His character, giving thanks to God's character that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the perfections of who He is, loved us and gave Himself for us. And in His righteousness and justice, He took care of the issue of our sin, the problem of our sin, and has made us His people. But there's two things there that have to do with the purpose for Thanksgiving and all of these phrases, all of these things that we would think. And first is that the purpose for Thanksgiving, and you'll have to write this in your notes, I didn't leave a blank for you there, but is to develop that attitude of gratitude. The purpose for Thanksgiving is to develop that attitude in God's people of gratitude. If we learn that, then all of the other things fall into place, and it's very, very much related to the expression of faith. Okay? When we by faith give thanks, then we're expressing belief in God. We're expressing trust in God. We're saying that God is God. That's your confession. And that's the second part. It says, among all the nations, give thanks. Why? Because it's a confession of worship. Thanksgiving is a confession of worship and acknowledging God for who He is. It's essential for us as His people. It's an expression of faith, of belief in God. Grumbling is an expression of unbelief, lack of faith in God. Complaining is saying, God, you're not there. You do not love me, or you're not powerful enough to be in control. Either one is insulting to your God. Okay, you see what I'm saying? If you grumble, if I grumble, I am expressing unbelief. I'm saying that, God, you're not God. And I do it all the time. You know, I get frustrated with things that happen, and that frustration sits in, and there's a complaint. You know, I'm not Lord of things. I can't control everything. and I start with a little temper tantrum, and I start getting bent out of sorts, and you do it too. That's the things that we do. That's our flesh in action. But God says, be thankful. And if we can develop that, if we can grow in it, it's a wonderful thing. That's God's purpose in this command of thanksgiving, to give Him thanks. Now look at point two, the development of thankfulness. I want to talk for just a few moments about how to develop thankfulness. First of all, and these are some of the things that we've already covered, but use special times to develop thankfulness. If we can learn that Romans 8:28 seriously and look at these when something bad happens, if we can just learn to immediately respond by, God, I don't know what's going on here, but I give you thanks. Immediate response, thanksgiving. Man, it's powerful. And I've seen people in pretty serious situations that first response was to give God thanks. God, thank you. You know, thank you that it wasn't as bad as it was, an accident. Thank you, God, for whatever it is that you're doing. Just an immediate response of thanksgiving when something bad happens. Have you ever thought about doing that and learning to do that? Or maybe you're a pro at doing that. I don't know. But I know that God wants us to learn and develop thankfulness and to progress in it in such a way that our immediate response is thanksgiving. Immediate. You know, something tragic happens, a bad telephone call, immediate response, thanksgiving. And that's contrary to human nature, contrary to our flesh, but it's not contrary to the Word of God. It's right on target. It's lining up with the Word of God. And that's what we need to do as God's people if we want to grow in thanksgiving. In all things means habitually. It means that we habitually, progressively grow and learn and habitually learn to do, to give thanks in all things. Secondly, meditate on the reality of God's grace in your life there. Philippians chapter 4 says, think on these things, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, of good repute, if there's any excellence, is there anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. So what does that tell us? That if our mind dwells on the right things, then it's a lot easier to be thankful. You know, what's pure, what's righteous, what's just, what's good. And dwell on those. Don't permit your mind to dwell on the things that you complain about. And deal with the negative stuff that has to be dealt with, but don't let it prevail over your lives. Don't let it prevail. Dwell on the good. Okay? It's principle in Scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Where's your thought life? Are you thinking on what is good and pure and honest and just? Are you casting down imaginations and those high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God? Well, this is the practice of God's people. It's what we need. Okay? Know the temporal nature of things in your notes there and the eternal value of the giver. Just switch the way you think. The Scripture says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust does destroy and where thieves break in and steal. It's temporal. It passes. It's worthless in the scope of the eternal things. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where the thieves do not break in or steal. There are eternal things in life that we can lay hold of if we just have the fortitude and by the grace of God within us to strive and press on for those important things, those eternal things, and to know our God and Creator. Bask in His goodness. Bask in the glory of His presence. Bask in His attributes, His character, His goodness. And you'll find that the things in this world grow dim and fade away. They pass, and the eternal things and the character of our Lord and our God is manifested in our lives, and we begin to look like Him. Now, developing an attitude of thankfulness for, there's several things here I wanted to point out to you in closing, and we'll just give those to you quick, and the idea of developing thankfulness for the believer. Number one, develop an attitude of thankfulness for your relationships. I did a funeral 2 weeks ago, and the tragedy was that, you know, and there were some relationships that had been broken, and there was just that very serious realization that there's no other opportunity to express my love for that person anymore. It's gone. And we don't know when that happens. You know, I've had lost friends when they were like 15 years old, when I was a teenager, and there's no guarantees. And so learn to treasure relationships. Be thankful for your family, for those that you love. And learn how to know, hey, it's okay to express my love to people. And to learn how to do that. And to learn how to value the relationships that God has given, because none of it's by mistake. It's all by God's design for your good and for His purposes in your life. It's all working together. So if you got broken relationships, unbreak them. You got, if you're holding lack of forgiveness or bitterness towards someone, do all that you can and cherish that relationship. And as much as you're able, you do all that you can do. And sometimes that's not possible to take care of. It's just horrible that you can do all that you can do to have peace and do the best you can with relationships. And sometimes God's just going to have to intervene and work out something on the other person's part. But you can be free. By not holding bitterness, not holding unforgiveness, and by cherishing what God has given to you and acknowledging that even these things are working together for good in relationships. Relationships can be hard, but heaven is all about relationships with God and with people. It's what it's all about, folks. And so we need to learn to deal with things that bug us and things that we don't like about others and learn to love anyway with the compassion of Christ. And it's so important. Secondly, work. Learn to appreciate your work. You know, you can complain about your work and it's hard and it is by the sweat of our brow. And we do live in a fallen world. But learn to appreciate that God has given to us work. And work is good. It may not feel like it and you may want to complain about it and there may be good reason. Humanly speaking, to complain about your work, but learn to take your labor and embrace it and give God thanks to appreciate work because some, like Johnny Erickson that lost her, that became a paraplegic, she can't work like you can work. And it's not the end of the world, but it sure is nice to be able to work, isn't it? And so we ought to be appreciative of the mental facilities that God has given to us, the physical ability to work or do the things that we can do. Health. Some boast. We find Paul boasting in his chronic illness. Did you know that? Did you know that you can have chronic illness, chronic something, thorn in the flesh, and boast in that weakness of the flesh? That's what the Apostle Paul did. He said, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient. Remember that thorn in Paul's flesh? Is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Listen to Paul's confession. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. What did Paul long for? What did he desire in his chronic illness? To boast in the power of Christ dwelling in him. Therefore, I'm well contented with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And that's a different perspective in life, isn't it? That was Paul's perspective, and it should be our perspective. We can boast in our weakness, even if it's a chronic weakness, chronic weakness, we can boast in those things. Circumstances, cut the complaints. You know, all your circumstances, learn to give thanks. And then finally, wrongs. Beware of bitterness. Be quick to forgive. Be one who is able to give thanks in all seasons for wrongs that are done to you. Remember that what the Lord said, that even unbelievers love those that are their own. But can you love your enemies? Can you love those that do things in spite to you, intentionally try to harm you? Well, not by the power of the flesh, but by the work of God's Spirit, we're able to do those things. And that's what He calls us to. And it's a wonderful life of peace, rejoicing in all things, rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, and in all things giving thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great for Thanksgiving? It's good meditations. Let's carry it with us, and let's progress. Let's grow in it together. We can learn to be thankful as God's people. Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful body of believers in Christ Jesus at Grace Bible Church. And Lord, so often encouraged by their love for you and walk with you and their encouragement and their service to you. And I pray that you would strengthen and uphold them, that you would give them hearts of thanksgiving and freedom to rejoice, that they might know that inexpressible joy in Christ Jesus, His peace which passes all understanding, peace not as the world has given unto us, but He has given to us His peace. And may we know it as your people, and with thankful hearts give confession to the grace that has been given to us in Christ. We pray and ask these things in His name. Amen.